You know what I've been thinking about lately? How many of us are just staying quiet right now? Like, really quiet. We're all walking around afraid of saying the wrong thing, afraid of what might happen if we actually speak up about something that matters to us. And honestly, I get it. Charlie Kirk's death is a chilling reminder of what can happen when disagreement turns into rage. He was shot for speaking up, and that's terrifying. When I think about stories like his, when I look around at how heated things get when people disagree, even about small stuff, it's scary. People lose their minds, relationships explode, families stop talking to each other. It feels so much safer to just not say anything at all. But here's what I've been learning, and I want to share this with you because maybe you're feeling it too. While most of us will never face something that extreme as what happened to Charlie Kirk, that same dynamic that we see in those big, tragic conflicts is happening in our homes every single day, in quieter ways. But it's there. For the longest time, I thought anger itself was the enemy. You know what I mean? Like if someone got angry, that automatically meant they were dangerous, out of control, someone I needed to stay away from. I'd see anger and immediately think, nope, not safe, I'm out of here. But what I figured out is that anger isn't actually the problem. The real problem is when anger gets used like a weapon. Like when someone uses their anger to shut you down, to make you too scared to speak up, to control what you can and can't say. And here's the thing that really gets me. When that happens enough times, we don't just avoid that one conflict. We start avoiding all conflict. We stop speaking up about anything. We start tiptoeing around everyone, walking on eggshells, just trying not to rock the boat. Brené Brown talks about how shame tells us to stay quiet and small. And that's precisely what happens when we let anger silence us. We start believing that our voice doesn't matter, that it's safer to just blend into the background than risk someone's explosive reaction. I know this sounds dramatic, but I see it everywhere. People who used to have opinions, who used to stand up for things they believed in, have just stopped speaking up. Because somewhere along the way, they learned that having a voice was too risky. Welcome to Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate. If you want to stop yelling, end the daily power struggles, or manage your frustration better, but don't know how, you're in the right place. I get it. I was there too. As a grandma, I finally started learning the emotional life skills I wish I'd learned at a younger age. Each week, I share simple, practical resources that help you develop your own social skills so that you can be the calm, confident inspiration to others. New episodes drop every Thursday, so hit that subscribe button. And hey, if something here speaks to you, leaving a quick review helps others find it too. Like a lighthouse, steady and strong, let's all shine a little brighter today. Let me tell you about something that happened in my own house that really opened my eyes to this. My husband came home one day absolutely furious about something that had gone wrong at work. And I need to be clear. His anger wasn't about me or directed at me. But man, when he walked through that door, you could feel it in the air. He was slamming cabinet doors, his voice was raised, and the whole energy of our home just shifted. It was like this cloud of tension settled over everything. And what did I do? I froze. Completely froze. My heart started pounding, and all I wanted to do was make myself invisible. I got really quiet, really small. I had this thought running through my head. if I just don't say anything, if I just stay out of the way, maybe this will pass. But you know what? Even though I stayed quiet, even though I tried to disappear, I was scared, really scared. Not because he was going to hurt me or anything like that, but because the anger in our space felt so big and overwhelming. That moment has stuck with me for years. Even now, when I think about it, I can still feel that fear in my body. And it taught me something really important. When someone uses their anger to take up all the emotional space in a room, it forces everyone else to go silent. It makes them shrink. It teaches them that the safest thing to do is just not have a voice. But here's what I've learned since then, and this is the part that really matters. Avoiding conflict doesn't actually protect our relationship. It weakens them, because when one person's voice disappears, there's no real honesty left. There's no understanding. There's no respect. There's just fear. This is where emotional skills become everything. But let me explain this in a way that actually makes sense for real life. First, we need to get better at noticing our own feelings. I know that sounds simple, but think about it. When you're dealing with someone else's explosive anger, what's actually happening in your body? Are you holding your breath? Is your chest getting tight? Are you mentally checking out? Just being able to name what's happening helps you stay more grounded instead of getting completely swept away. Second, we need to learn how to calm ourselves down before we react. And I don't mean become some Zen master or anything. I mean simple stuff like taking a deep breath, straightening your shoulders, or reminding yourself, I can get through this moment without losing myself. It's about not letting someone else's emotional storm completely hijack your nervous system. And third, and this one took me a while to get, we need to remember that other people see the world differently than we do. Sometimes when someone is exploding with anger, there's something else underneath it. Maybe they're scared. Maybe they're hurt. Maybe they're frustrated about something completely different. You don't have to agree with them or fix it. But recognizing that there might be more to the story can help you not take it so personally. Fourth, healthy relationships are built on respect, and that includes how we handle disagreements. You don't have to collapse into silence when someone gets angry, but you also don't have to blow up right back at them. There's this middle ground where you can hold yourself with dignity. And finally, sometimes the smartest thing you can do is set a boundary. And sometimes you need to walk away entirely. Both of those choices are about choosing respect. Respect for yourself, and actually, respect for the relationship too. Okay, so what does this look like in real life? When you're standing there facing someone's explosive anger, and every instinct you have is telling you to either fight back or disappear, what do you actually do? Here are the five ways that have completely changed how I handle these moments. I ground myself by taking a slow breath in and let it out slowly. I used to think this was some touchy-feely nonsense, but it's not. It's actually really practical. When your nervous system gets flooded with stress hormones, breathing slowly helps your body settle down so you can think clearly instead of just reacting. And number two, I stand tall for myself. This is about posture, but it's also about your mindset. Pull your shoulders back and remind yourself, I'm here, I'm steady, and I don't have to collapse just because someone else is having a meltdown. It sounds simple, but it works. I lead with curiosity. If it feels safe to do so, try asking something like, can you help me understand what's really going on here? Now, I'm not saying this will magically fix everything, but curiosity does two important things. It keeps you from adding fuel to the fire, and sometimes it actually opens the door to a real conversation instead of just a screaming match. And number four, I protect my boundaries. You can acknowledge that someone is upset without accepting behavior that crosses the line. You can say something like, I can see you're really angry, but it's not okay to yell at me. Boundaries aren't mean. They are self-respect. And number five, I walk away when I need to. Listen, if the angry behavior keeps going, it is completely okay to leave. Leave the room. Leave the conversation. Leave the situation. Walking away isn't giving up or being weak. It's choosing your dignity and protecting your well-being. Here's what I want you to understand about these five steps. When you use them, something shifts. You stop avoiding conflict out of fear. You start showing up with honesty and respect. You're not letting anger, whether it's yours or someone else's, control the whole situation. And you're definitely not silencing yourself just to keep the peace. This is what healthy conflict actually looks like. This is how strong relationships get built. Not by avoiding every disagreement, but by learning how to disagree with respect. Brené Brown says that vulnerability and courage are what create real connection. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. It takes courage to stay present when someone is angry. It takes vulnerability to speak your truth, even when it's uncomfortable. But that's where authentic relationships are born. So here's what I want to challenge you to do this week. Think about where you've been staying quiet to avoid conflict. Maybe it's with your partner, your kids, a friend, or even a coworker. Ask yourself, what would it look like to show up differently in that situation? And then try these five ways to have courage and face anger without fear. Ground yourself. Stand tall. Lead with curiosity. Protect your boundaries. And when you need to, walk away. Because here's the truth. When you stop letting anger control you, you start building relationships that are rooted in respect instead of fear. And that changes everything. Whether you're figuring out your own feelings, working through a tough moment as a family, or learning how to talk things through with others, you're practicing the emotional life skills that help us grow into the people we want to be. Listening is great, but nothing changes if you don't actually use what you've just learned. So pick one idea from today and try it out this week. That's when the magic happens. And if you want to keep building your social skills, hit follow for more from Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate. If no one has told you lately, everything will be okay. Tomorrow is a new day, and with it comes new hope. As I conclude this episode, I must state that this podcast is designed solely for educational and entertainment purposes. While I bring my experience as a parent and grandparent, it's essential that you know I am not a licensed therapist. This podcast is not a substitute for professional advice from a physician, professional coach, psychotherapist, or other qualified professional. Got it? Awesome. Until next time, what is one thing you are